The recently adopted state budget included program language designed to protect New York's wetlands, so that made us curious about what's next on the policy front when it comes to our state's freshwater. To that end, State Senator Rachel May has introduced a handful of bills to study and preserve our fresh water, and the Syracuse Area Democrat joins us in the studio at the Capitol to discuss her proposals. So up first, we have a bill directing state officials to study the water supply and management in New York. Is that not something we have a handle on already? Because it seems important.
It's really important, and honestly, it's getting more important all the time. We know that people are going to be moving to this part of the world as climate migrants and eventually climate refugees as well, because we're going to be one of the last places on Earth that has abundant fresh water. So I think it's important to understand the state of our freshwater resources now and also to be planning for how we're going to protect them moving forward.
So the legislative memo that accompanies this bill argues that having a study will enable us to make holistic decisions about our freshwater moving forward, which seems to suggest that policies right now are, I guess, either too narrowly focused or they're made in a vacuum. Is that the case? Are you concerned that policy decisions right now aren't being made with the big picture in mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's this issue about air permit for a power plant on Seneca Lake that is powering Bitcoin mining. And when I talked to folks at DEC about how the decision making was going to happen around that air permit, I asked them, well, what about the water? Because it also is taking millions of gallons of water out of Seneca Lake. And they said, oh, we make that decision separately. The water permit will be decided next year, the air permit is decided this year. And for me, the idea that you wouldn't be looking holistically at the whole picture seemed really broken to me. And that's made me start thinking about how are we looking at our freshwater resources in general.
Well, then you have another study bill that would require a review of the overall health of each watershed in New York. It's been a long time, unfortunately, since I took a GSI 100. So what exactly is a watershed, and why is there a need for additional analysis of them by state officials?
So a watershed is an area of land that sheds water into one place. So it's where all the slopes go down into the same location. And you can have very small watersheds. You can be standing on a road and there's a puddle next to you and you're in the watershed of that puddle. But we're talking about big watersheds. There are 17 of them in New York State where all the rivers bring water in the same direction. They end up usually in a lake, which then typically flows to either to Lake Ontario and then to the Atlantic Ocean or directly to the Atlantic Ocean one way or the other. They're important because everything that happens upstream gets concentrated as it moves downstream. So if there's contamination going into a stream that's up on top of a hill, it's going to end up in that water body that the watershed feeds to. If you are having plastic pollution or, you know, various forms of trash that are flowing downstream, they will also end up there. So knowing how well we are caring for the outlying areas of a watershed is a lot has a lot to do with how we care for the water bodies themselves.
I have to imagine, though, whether it's the watersheds or our water supply, there are environmentalists, maybe not within the state, but on the nonprofit side of things, who are already looking at these issues and already have policy ideas on how to preserve them and how to best manage them for the future. So why are studies the best way forward? Is it because more aggressive legislation needs to come after a study? Is there information that we think we don't know that we need to find about studies? Why are studies the best way to begin approaching these two issues?
Well, part of it is because a watershed doesn't necessarily observe political boundaries. And so you might have multiple counties, multiple municipalities in a watershed, even multiple states in a watershed. And so understanding the whole picture then enables us to start figuring out how do we bring those governmental entities together to resolve an issue or to try to protect them. It's also the case that there are some really cool things happening in selected watersheds around the state. Our drinking water in Syracuse comes from Skaneateles Lake, and Skaneateles Lake, the watershed protection efforts are really quite advanced. And so they are working with the landowners all around the lake to make sure that they're not sending things into the lake that shouldn't be in a water supply, in a drinking water supply, and also that they're planting more trees and doing things to protect that watershed. I was able to tour in the Catskills some of the efforts that are being done with farmers, to work with farmers so that they are moving their cattle operations away from streams or planting buffers around their streams so that the New York City water supply isn't getting contaminated with runoff from agricultural operations. And the farmers are finding that it's better for their operations. They seemed very happy to be getting the support to do these kinds, make these kinds of changes as well. So, you know, we need to know what's working in order to then help the other watershed management agencies or lake associations or whatever groups are out there and help them know how to move forward too.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're talking about potential protections for the state's freshwater, and our guest is State Senator Rachel May, a Syracuse area Democrat. You just highlighted some locally based initiatives in the Finger Lakes and in the Catskills. Does the situation not allow for localities to just take the lead on this type of issue, or do we need the state to be weighing in on some of these and providing guidance?
Well, as I said, you know, if it crosses county lines, and watersheds do.
But couldn't county leaders just work together? You know, we're always fostering that shared cooperation and commitment of helping each other.
You would hope they would, but sometimes they're in competition with each other. Sometimes one county is trying to attract a factory that, you know, may have an impact on downstream communities that aren't in that county. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that all of those considerations are being taken into account is important.
And finally, you have a bill restricting the development of new water bottling facilities. Why is that in the state's best interest?
Can you guess how many water bottling facilities there are in New York State now?
I'm going to guess 42.
125.
Was that a better or worse guess than you thought I was going to make?
It was, you know, more than two anyway.
Okay.
So water bottling facilities typically take public water and privatize it. They put it in bottles, and then the company sells it for a profit, trying to make people believe that somehow the water they've taken out of the public water supply is more pure or more safe or something than the water that people can drink from their taps.
And clearly this is the case with Saratoga bottled water. No free ads, but got to rep my hometown here.
But, you know, it's not always the case. They don't purify the water necessarily. There's no telling, you know, that they didn't just turn on a tap someplace and put it in a water bottle and sell it to you. And so it is commodifying what should be a public resource. And as I said at the beginning, if we're going to have a lot of people coming to this region of the planet because we have abundant fresh water, we shouldn't be letting corporations just take our water, privatize it, and sell it for a profit someplace else if we are going to need the water here.
When you talk about a future where New York is going to be the prime destination for people who enjoy water and therefore want to live, How far away in the future are we talking here? Is this something that might interrupt my 40th birthday party in 5 years from now? Or is this something that is going to happen on my deathbed 55 years from now?
Honestly, I think it's already happening. I know in my family, there are two.
We found the solution to reverse outbound migration of New Yorkers.
Well,
our sweet, sweet drinking water is going to drive up our numbers.
Our drinking water is an incredible,
look out, Texas.
Valuable. I mean, I have family members who live on the West Coast, and they moved out there and swore they would never live through another winter again. And they are, two of them are talking about moving back here, and it's because they're sick and tired of the wildfires and breathing smoke all the time and heat waves going up to 110, 115 degrees. They don't want to deal with that anymore. And they want to be around water. You know, people do. It's a natural human desire. So I do think we have to plan for this and not in the distant future.
None of the bills that we've talked about right now have assembly sponsors to them, at least according to the public legislative tracking website, and there's only a handful of days left in the legislative session. So should we think about these issues as something for the 2023 session, or is there some Hail Mary in the works that might get these done by June 2nd, the scheduled end to the session?
These are more looking forward bills, I would say. Yeah, I definitely. And now that I have my new district to run in, and I have four Finger Lakes and a piece of the Lake Ontario shoreline in my new district, I feel like being the freshwater senator is something I will proudly wear.
Well, we've been speaking with State Senator Rachel May. She is a Syracuse area Democrat hoping to become the freshwater senator of New York. Senator, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Is your business, agency, or service interested in delivering your message to more than 24 radio stations statewide carrying Capital Pressroom? If so, visit capitalpressroom.org to contact our underwriting team.